farmers made money, they got paid. If it didn't, they'd go bankrupt.
Well, typically in those days, you know, the Jews who were unskilled, who didn't have any degrees in any professional life, they would open a store, whether a grocery store, or dry goods, or furniture, or general merchandise. And that was the thing to do.
That is the stage in the progression of Jewish immigrants. And also today, the same sort of thing is being duplicated by the Vietnamese and the Koreans, all doing the same thing. Up in New York, we see it. They come in, they open little stores somewhere else. They get a steak, somebody gives them a steak. They start a little business, they sleep in the back of the store, they work night and day. And the next thing you know, they're building a house out in the suburbs.
People on King Street lived over their stores in those days. The Breboks lived over their stores. The Feldmans lived over their stores up on Meeting Street. Everybody lived over their stores, frankly. Because, you know, in those days, it was almost a 7-day work week.
This girl came in, and she was a friend of my sister Annie's, and she was fat. She wore about 18 dress, you know. And this clerk, her name was Annabelle Kennedy, I can still remember. She was trying to keep on telling her, buy a black dress or a navy because you're stout. It'll make you look thinner. And she didn't like it. And I called over my boss and I said, Mr. Benjamin, I says, if you let me go over there and help that girl, and that's the first time I ever sold in my life, I can sell her a dress. And he says, well, go ahead and try. I'll tell Maybelle you'll give it a commission because you don't work on the floor. And I did sell her a beautiful dress. I sold her a pretty printed silk dress. And he said to me, I want you to work on the floor. He says, you know human nature. I said, no, I don't know human nature. But I know her nature. She didn't own a black or navy dress.
Everybody in the family worked at the store in December. Even when I became United States District Attorney and I became a circuit court judge, come December the 15th, I would take leave, vacation time from those positions and go down to the store and work.
On Saturday, you couldn't buy a piece of furniture, you couldn't buy clothing. Stores were closed in Charleston. You couldn't buy anything on Saturdays. Of course, later on, yes, you could, but I'm talking about in the early 30s and late 30s. Seems like the war changed everything in Charleston.
They didn't keep any books.
No books?
They didn't keep any books whatsoever. He is literally flying on the seat by the seat of his pants.
I think I got to know everybody in this city from people coming into the restaurant. Of course, during the war, I think there wasn't a Jewish officer, sailor, Coast Guard that didn't come into the restaurant to eat.
A
lot of those fellas met Charleston girls and they got married.
Quite a few.
Some guy came in once and wanted to buy a watch, let's say, and my dad couldn't give it to him at the price the man wanted. And as walking out, the man said, you guys deserved exactly what Hitler did to you. My dad said, well, would you wait there just a minute? He went back to the office. He was a short man, probably 4 inches shorter than I, maybe five, maybe around 5'3", 5'4". He kept a Luger in the office. He kept it out of sight. Walked up to the man, he stuck the Luger in his gut and said, would you please repeat what you just said? And when you do, I'm gonna put a bullet right through you. Well, the guy turned white, blanched, and backed out of the store. My dad made his point. He wouldn't have shot the man, for God's sake. But the man didn't know that. That kind of a guy.
My father had a sense of humor that was really something else. I don't know if you ever heard this story, but if you asked him how business was, he would tell you in Yiddish, "You can speak ein Wort English," which means I haven't spoken the first word of English yet today. He hadn't had a customer.